Hello everyone, you're now listening to After Scrum with Ada
and Ami. Here we talk about what is new,
what's interesting,
and what you would have considered difficult to step.
Lego!
Hi guys!
Hello!
Welcome back.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's been so long.
Jeez.
How have you been doing?
How have you been coping without us?
Right?
Like, I know it's not been easy, and I'm so sorry. I'm really so sorry, but like, we're back.
Yeah.
We are
and this
back.
This time for good, hopefully.
Hopefully.
But this time around, it was actually a misfault. We'll get to it, but let me just, I need to absolve myself from any, you know, backlash that's going to come from this.
Anyways, gosh, so many amazing things have happened
since
our last episode. And before we go into that, Ada, how have you been? I know you've missed me.
I don't miss people, please.
I know you can't do without me.
I missed you, actually.
You know,
calm down. There are some Sundays that, like, actually, it was very funny because my mom was like, yeah, if I'm not recording today.
Aww.
I was like, no, I'm in travel. She's like, actually, you know, for instance, two of us used to look at your status on Instagram. And she'd be like, oh, I swear. My mom is not the one asking me, when are you even planning to travel again? I'm
wow. I love that.
It's a complete 360.
I love that.
Right? It's so crazy. Yeah, so, but like, you know, it was not, how do I explain it? Well, that was why maybe you said, okay, yeah, let's record. It was supposed to be last week, and nobody could make it.
Yeah.
And then this week, well, I was like, yeah, no, we have to do
we
it.
We have to. Like, I actually did miss recording,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
I really did. But I had so much fun. I did a lot of fun things while I was away from the
gist
podcast.
Gist me, because look, let me tell you guys. This woman has been holding back gist.
I'm here for
I have to go to our WhatsApp.
But it's not true. It's not true.
Slide into your DM.
It's not true.
I'll be like, give me gist before you don't give
me
gist.
See, it's not true because Ada can vouch for the fact that I used to send her pictures.
Once in a blue moon. You know the worst part? If it's me, they will complain about how I didn't take pictures. But then...
What's the pictures and I sent it to you?
It was very few. It was not enough.
Yeah,
how many pictures are enough actually to think about? You will start with...
Okay. Anyways, guys, today we are going to be talking about interesting things that have been happening.
What? Why are we jumping? What have you been up to? Just the people, they want to know. Tell us.
Okay, so I traveled. I went to like have a taste of the nomad life. Ada has been having too much of it, and I was like, let me even go and know this thing that Ada has been doing since. She was supposed to follow me, but she did not agree. But that's by the way. I went to have a taste of the nomad life, and don't worry, I'll give you details like as we go on in the episodes.
Mm.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. She went to have fun without me, but don't worry.
Why did not want to go?
It's not that I don't want to
go.
It was very impromptu.
Lies. You had more than... Let me tell you what used to happen. When Ada was to travel, Ada would not give me up to a month's notice. She would just come all of a sudden and tell me that she's going to one place that you need like $5,000 minimum to travel. I don't know who she thinks I am.
No.
I'm probably not who she thinks I am yet.
No. You're
because
more than...
I want to see $5,000 I'm not using. So that's what has been going on since. And then I said, okay, let me go to a cheap place. And I said, Ada, would you like to come out? Over a month.
Oh, this is our life.
Over a month.
She traveled and left us for like more than... Wait, this was actually like more than a month. You know, right? This trip was a month and... We've not recorded in since March. April.
No, April.
See?
But it's not, when I came back, we couldn't record now.
What I'm trying
anyways,
to say is that,
what I'm trying
that
soft
is that
news.
It's not me. It's
her. On other soft news, like, there is something that's been going on for the past few days, and I'm so proud. I just have to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Hilda, you are who you think you are.
Right?
You are the shit. You are the babe. You are clout. You are everything.
Yeah. Someone said this is the new era for, like, this is the new level of clout chasing. Because some people are saying, oh, yeah, it's clout chasing.
Please, she's clout.
This is how to
chase
clout.
She is the clout. She is the clout. God, like, I've been following, I don't even know Hilda before.
Yeah.
And I've been following it, and I'm like, See, kudos to her. And it just made me feel like whatever you want to do,
I don't even think that the competition
go big or go home.
I don't even think this is actually now just about like the cooking thing.
No, it's just like I don't even feel it was ever about it.
Yeah, exactly. Just telling you that, you know, no matter what you think you can or cannot do, then it's true, right? If you think can do it, yep. If you don't think
it's
you can do it,
it's been so amazing. And congrats to her, as at where we're recording, she has actually broken the world record of longest.
We're just counting down, you know, right? We're just trying to make sure that, you know.
So amazing. Everybody wants to associate with her. Like, our president's wife was there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot of A-list celebrities.
A lot. Like, do you know what it takes to pull in A-list celebrities?
Exactly.
Just like that. They just want to be associated
and
with you.
It's one of those things where you kind of like see once again, like, you know, the Nigerian spirit is
there. Yeah. Someone said that she has done a lot more than elections has done.
I'm telling you.
Irrespective
of tribe, not like, for once, Nigerians put aside, like, where is this person from?
Yeah.
Who gave birth to this person? Who does this person know? Nobody cares.
Like, right? She's doing well. Yeah. Do you know, I thought that maybe it was a social media thing that people don't even... Like, yesterday I was talking with my mom and we're talking about it. And she... As in, my mom knew about... Like, I didn't even need to explain.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Exactly.
Wow, babe, you are who you
like,
say you are.
For the past 4 days, right, everybody's feed has been about Hilda. If you go out, it has been about Hilda. A lot of there was even like one joke someone was giving that she doesn't even understand how someone is attempting to cook for 4 days, right? When if she finished making Indomie, she's fainting.
I'm telling you, like, you try to cook for 2 hours and you're already exhausted. You want to go and sleep.
Even when you're cooking, if you even be sitting down, without pressing for waiting for the food to.
In a society where guys and girls are. Making Twitter space about who should cook in the house. Somebody now says she wants to cook in 6 hours. Are you making a joke of him? what are you trying to mean?
Good.
And then people that have been there, they've been saying that the food has been awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best thing because
it's not
how do you cook?
Cooking.
You cook one food, it's sweet. You cook the second one, it's sweet. You cook the third, hello. You didn't even say you're boiling egg.
You don't even say that I'm giving too much
bread
salt,
and egg.
A little bit more pepper than usual.
I mean, she's not even cooking beans.
Exactly.
Like, why did you put like fear of your chicha?
To make the special of 5 hours.
5 hours, you use it, I'll cook.
Cut into the egg, exactly, right?
Or cook or pa.
What you mean that? I'm sure all those things are in our recipe. They're not there.
They're not there.
Are you serious? Ah, this is our time for
if you cook beans 5 times, 1 day has gone. Babe, hats off to you.
Actually,
I'm so fucking impressed with your whole team and how much you've been able to accomplish in 4 days. I know it's not just something great like this. It takes time to plan and everything has paid off.
No, everybody
me,
has. I actually saw this very inspiring picture. Like, you know, that was at night and it was raining and people were outside there. It was just so good to see.
So
you forget that there are sometimes when you're like, this Nigeria saved the time. Everybody is stupid for this country. But then something like this happens.
You know.
And you remember, like, you know,
how
the reason why,
up.
Like, yeah, exactly. Because at the core, right, I feel like Nigerians are like really, really good people. Forget like the situation and the people that are really
occasionally
like
good
that.
People. Okay, so besides the Hilda news,
Twitter CEO, Twitter announced like a new CEO. I feel like this, like, you know, I don't want to make it like a gender thing, no, but I feel like things that have been happening recently because this new Twitter CEO, Linda Yaccarmino or something, her surname is very, but anyway, she's of Italian descent.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's 59.
Gelato.
And yeah, do you know one very interesting thing I found out about her?
What was that?
Apparently, she participated in the Big Brother. Not Nigeria now. The Italian Big Brother.
Ooh, yeah, spicy. Like,
exactly.
I like.
So I was like, oh, wow, that's like. Not
like she has lived an interesting life.
Exactly.
You know, I love people like that.
Yeah.
Someone with a story to tell.
Exactly.
There's no work.
Like, there's no way she can get old and then, you know, her grandchildren will be around her and she will have like, she has lived like a lot of life.
Yeah.
She has lived
that's really awesome.
So,
like, I aspire to be someone exciting. That lives an exciting life.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, anyway, everybody's, it's very funny because I saw one tweet where someone was like, you know, she's a good choice because of the fact that, you know, the left hitter and the right, like, the left have something to say about her, not particularly hitter, and then right also have something to say about her. So not everybody's saying, oh, yeah, this, not a particular group agreeing that this is a good choice, right? Okay. And since she has not really made any major decisions or something like that, everybody's still kind of like, okay, what's the next, like, everybody's still watching her,
yeah,
technically, right?
But I think it's a good thing for Elon to step away for a while because, yeah, I mean, he has been in our news, world news, and After Scrum news for a long time since, yeah, he took over as the CEO.
Yeah.
And he has made some really, you know, crazy, yeah, decisions, mm, and, or we think it's crazy, but he had his reasons. But, yeah, then, yeah, I think it's good for him to, like, take a back seat and, mm-hmm, see what someone else can do. And the fact that he has someone that, because Twitter, whether you like it or not, is a social app.
Yeah.
So having someone that has lived a kind of social life.
Yes.
You know, I think it's good.
Exactly.
I think it's good.
She has some clout. So no, let's just see where that takes them, right?
Yeah.
Even though, right?
I hope Elon gets his money back, honestly.
Okay. Because I think that that's,
I do,
like,
think about it sometimes.
No.
I do think about it. Yeah. Because 40 billion.
Exactly.
Is a lot of money.
Yeah. No, I think that eventually they bounce back.
Yeah,
right,
so
now, like, you know, generally everybody has been talking about how, like, you know, the global economy is kind, yeah, of like in shits right now. But, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, eventually, let's give it like a few more months.
Yeah.
And see where life takes us.
Yeah. What else? I know a lot of things have been trending.
Yeah, a lot of things have been trending, but, wow, I think these two particular news has actually, like,
yeah,
been really on top of the list.
Unfortunately, at this point, we're still hearing tech companies shutting down and,
yeah,
firing some of their staff. I heard them, Intel is closing one of their offices.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's been so many crazy things happening on, yeah, the tech career wise thing. So, yeah, someone brought up this conversation. He was like, there are so many, we have a lot of tech incubators,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
We have old school, mm-hmm, we have girls, she codes, we have a lot.
Yeah, a lot of
and
them, yeah.
Every year, these people bring out 500 to 1,000 new people into the tech community. So, yeah, where are the jobs for these people?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. So, are we looking at a decline to the business of training people in tech, or because from the look of things, tech is not,
yeah, you
no longer the
them
place that you would say that. Yeah. Even companies that used to feel like they had job security, like, yeah, Google and all those things, we can see that it's on shaking waters.
Yeah, because still before down, right, it was like once you are done with these incubation schools, right, you get a job, placement straight up, right, and everybody felt kind of like, especially in Nigeria, I felt that in Nigeria, right, it felt good.
Yeah, it did
for
feel
once
good
to know that, like, you know, when you do this thing, you have like something, yeah, for you.
It was like a way out that we hadn't had in a long time.
Yeah. So now that with this whole I know that someone, I read like one of the responses to that tweet, I think, where the person was saying that, you know, what this means probably is that we'll have more startups. But I don't necessarily think
that's the solution. The more startups thing, you see that startups are not raising again.
Yes.
Because one of the things that made this thing thrive was because a lot of startups were raising money and they could afford to hire staff and pay them,
yeah, exactly,
a good amount of salary. Mm. So it was attractive enough. But now,
yeah,
companies are shutting down and VCs are no longer giving out money the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I just feel like this is a time where we need to build important stuff.
Yeah.
Because I feel like at some point everybody was doing fintech, and that's one thing about Nigerians. We like, once we see
something
that's working, everybody wants to do it.
Exactly. Yes. I didn't want 10, right? I think that actually like affected tech companies in Nigeria. Maybe not necessarily about the whole job thing. I feel like there are some solutions that don't necessarily need automation, especially at the stage that we are in.
Yes, in Nigeria.
Yeah. Yes. So you find that, like, there are some things that you think about, and in your head, it's perfect. It's a very good idea, but it's just not going to work here.
It's not. The
and then
is
after
not
a while,
it.
Yeah, and yeah, it's kind of like sad to think about that, right? Because maybe when we are finally ready for it. Another, like maybe a different country has already implemented those things and they've been using those things for years before in Nigeria. It's not like, you know, it's saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you now say, okay, yeah, I want to start a company and I want them to, you know, I want to do this thing, I want to automate this process. And then you just come here and you just find out that, oh, no, it's not going to
work. Yeah. Another thing is, another thing that affected all these things. There were some companies that were, you know, Ponzi schemes.
Yeah,
unfortunately, exactly. They raised money. They took our hopes up and they just dashed it.
Yeah.
And then there was this thing. There was this pastor that he said something about people trying to put in their careers into businesses that already exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important. Sometimes we want to look at this fancy, shiny, 1 billion valuation companies and all that. We want to be part of great things.
Mm.
And we don't really want to be part of building little things.
Yeah.
So I think another thing people can do when they come out of these incubators is put your talent to use by, I don't know, there are local businesses around you that you can actually kind of elevate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everything needs automation or everything needs to be built from scratch, but there are some things that you can do to make a business better.
Mm.
I think those are ways to start to use your careers skills, and your skill before you grow.
I don't know. I'm kind of like skeptical and afraid of the whole, like, you know, the fact that we still have like a lot of people trying to get into tech. And also I'm also skeptical about telling people, you know what, no, this is like a dead zone right now, like, you know, maybe try to find something else, just because part of me thinks that, you know, part of the things that are contributing to the decline is the global economy. And also, like, part of me is like, you know, even though, okay, apart from the fact that the global economy is there now, AI and a lot of patents, you know, we don't need like that much, like, you know,
developers again.
Exactly. But I still feel that, you know, eventually, like, I think I've said this thing before when we had like an AI conversation, that, you know, people just, the job will evolve. It's just like right now, I think a lot of things are kind of like
maybe
in, up in the air.
Transition stage.
Yes, exactly. A lot of things are up in the air and, like, you know, nobody actually like really knows where, you know, what's
going
to happen next.
Yeah,
exactly.
What's the next
even
thing?
Like, even me currently, right, I've been experiencing, and you have to understand that I'm not even someone that is like, you know, just finished an incubation or looking for a job or something like that, but I've been experiencing this thing where I'm in this state where I'm asking myself, okay, what's the next thing? Because I want to be on that next train. If it's leaving, I need to be on it. I don't want to be left behind.
Don't want to be left. Yeah,
exactly.
I get that.
I don't want to be left behind. But also, you know, remember that time we also had that conversation where we were talking about how, like, you know, joining on the next, on the thing that you think, okay, is the next shiny thing. You know, shiny object syndrome. And then
this thing has shown us is that it's not always about the next shiny thing, because once upon a time, a few years ago, the next shiny thing was learning blockchain.
Exactly. And now someone made a joke that all the blockchain people are now.
And then it was NFTs.
Yes, exactly.
So I think what stands out at the end of the day is building products that are meaningful, that actually solve problems. And I think those are, at the end of the day, it's people that make up the market.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, it's people that make up the market.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a business that makes money, that people find useful, once the VC money stops coming, you're going to find it hard.
Exactly. You can
so I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, to the interesting things.
Our topic for today.
Yeah, we're talking about.
Finally, so she actually like give us the gist that she has.
Digital nomad life.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Ada here is a veteran traveler.
wait.
Don't worry that she's putting everything on me. She's Ajala, the traveler.
Wait.
You know?
I've not traveled as much. I feel like I've not traveled as much as people think I have. Honestly.
She's the Ajala. She has 2 years certificate in traveling. Or more.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know. But like, it's something that I've been looking towards for a long time, and I wanted to really explore, because too many things have happened in the market. People have lost money. I've lost money in too many places.
Exactly.
I've lost money in blockchain projects, and I'm like, if I chop this money, I will know that I chop it.
Remember that conversation that we had, and I told you that it's better for me that I use my money and buy myself an experience than that I can't give the money to someone and then
it's now crash
story. Exactly.
So anyways, that's what now happened though. Mm-hmm. I now decided to go bankrupt.
You don't want to use money. What with money is that if you keep it in the bank, you always find something that you use it to do. That you maybe don't even want to use it to do in the first place. But when you spend it, you always make it back. That's the truth.
Amen. So I went to I was in Kigali and Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
Because the town of Mount Elu.
No.
So one thing I'm able to know is that a lot of Nigerians travel.
Yeah.
Because when I went to Kigali, the hotel I stayed, the lady was like, last week was Easter, like the week before I traveled was Easter, and she was like, there's so many Nigerians
there. Yeah, looking for the Easter break.
Like, a lot of Nigerians travel, and then I got to travel with
them. About Kigali, I'm sorry to cut you short, but I don't know why, but like, the reason why I've not really like looked at Rwanda and I'm like very excited about it is because sometimes in the media it gives me this feeling that it's kind of like, you know, because of the whole genocide thing, I feel like it's such a sad place and solemn and everybody's like
so one thing I think about the genocide in Rwanda is that it has made everybody responsible.
So it affected the culture there, is what
you're
saying?
Definitely. And of course, if you, like, I went to the genocide center and gosh, like when I got there, when I came out of there, I remember listening to, I said what I said and what Jola said about it. Everything she said is true. Jesus Christ, I cried. It was crazy, it was sad.
Oh my God.
And then it made me remember Nigerian elections and the stupid thing that some people were trying to put pit tribes against each other. Trust me, we don't want war. And the same thing that happened to them. And people that pit them against each other was the colonialists, the French people that colonized them. They pit them against, like, the tribes against each other. And then this thing grew out of scale. And guess what? The French people even still supported the genocide.
Are you serious?
Yes, the sitting presidents. French people loaned them millions of dollars worth of weapons.
Oh my God.
You didn't have money to pay for it, but you collect loan to kill people. It was so crazy. Over 250,000 people died in that thing. And I like that place because it was well documented, but it was like a very sad place. But it made them responsible.
In what ways would you say?
Okay, so I'll give an instance. When I traveled, I traveled alone. First solo trip.
Wait. Let me just say this. You need to go on a lot of solo trips.
Yeah. That's really,
I don't know why people run away from it. Go alone, for crying out loud.
One of get lost. No, don't get
found.
Don't get lost. Please. Don't get lost. Before you enter like human trafficking something, don't get lost. I beg in the name of God.
Well, get lost responsibly.
Discard this advice.
Get lost responsibly. Like, interchange this advice.
These guys are very responsible. When I went, I didn't go with any I didn't have any, what they call this, an agent or tour guide or anything, because I felt like, I mean, I learned tech on my own. I should be able to navigate the
country.
I should be able to do
and
that.
And Google is your friend.
Exactly. And then the tour guides were like freakingly expensive. You see, like, a tour to go to one place, $200, $300. Hello, how much my salary? How much is that travel? So I had to like go alone and The day after I went, I tried to get a SIM card the first day and I couldn't get, so they said I should come the next day. I went the next day, which was a Sunday, to the airport, and I was able to find my way and get the SIM. When I was coming out of the airport, I took a wrong road. Like, I took the road for cars and I was already out. Like, let's say this is the gate now, I'm already here. There was a car that drove out. It was a taxi guy, and he said, politely, this road is not for what they call people that are walking
pedestrians.
Leg. Pedestrians. That is for cars. I should go back inside.
Are you serious?
I said, this Nigeria person could just say she don't pass. Say she don't pass. I had to go inside and take the right road for pedestrians. That's when I got the sense of how responsible these people are. And in Kigali, they use bikes a lot. I took a bike because I didn't have a SIM, so I couldn't use their cab apps, you know. So I had to be taking bike first. Helmets.
Yeah.
Like, every bike ride. See, we have Okada in Nigeria. These people have bikes.
Do you remember that time that they wanted to implement the whole helmet thing? They wanted to insist on it in Enugu. And then they said everybody must buy. I remember we were really young then. They said everybody must get a helmet. If you don't have a helmet, you're not going to ride the car. Do you know what we used to do then? They used to hide from police checkpoints. So actually, do you know the funny part? Do you know the funny part, right? Some of the bike guys actually bought the helmet. Then they'll give you the helmet. No, they will give the person the helmet. The person refused to wear it. So they will not hold it in their hand. And then when they get to start getting the police checkpoint, they put it on. So
I think there are too many reasons. I think one of the reasons would be that we are also heat. And Nigerians, we are kind of have like this spirituality thing.
Yes.
I think that's one of the reasons why some people know. But everybody used like they have this sense of especially the older generation, responsibility and like collective responsibility that they feel like they need to take care of the next person, take care of themselves. Because some of these people, they are like the only survivors in their family, like in their whole extended family. I went to an art gallery. I met this guy. And we got talking. It's a big gallery. They've had like international shows and all that.
Yeah.
And I bought some artwork from them. But we're talking, and this guy, I think he's the only survivor from his family. He was adopted by white people. Say, like, so these people have this sense of responsibility. When you are the zebra crossing, everybody's going. Even bike, they'll stop. They will let you to cross. Like their response, they have a way of thinking that is so foreign to Nigerians.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was this. Then I from the hotel, I got to an Airbnb. I met some Nigerians. They're very interesting. Tech bros. Guess what? When I got there, they said the room that I stayed in. It was a tech bro that left there. It was very funny. Bad. And he went to Nairobi, which was the same place I was going to. It was so crazy. I really wanted us to link up, somehow, but he didn't go to Nairobi, he went to Mombasa.
Yeah.
It was so crazy. So I even like the Airbnb I stayed is owned by Chinese and very friendly lady. And we're talking, she was like, it seems like Nigerians like to travel because most of the people in her Airbnb. In fact, when I went, we're four Nigerians.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I think I feel like actually
Nigerians travel a lot.
Yeah, it's the only thing is that we're very limited. We're limited by our passports and also by the currency. So once you end, like, you know,
I think one of the reasons why we travel is because there's too much hardship that you want to experience. You
just want to
some kind of freedom.
Yes.
Yeah. Just because when you're in a place that is kind of sane,
yeah,
it can feel like monotonous. Because when I was there, before I left, there was a new girl that came. She's from Nairobi. I think her name was Shirley.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
In
case you watch this. Anyways, she's from Nairobi and she has been living in Kigali for like 5 years now because she works with a telecoms company. But anyway, she was like, she finds Nairobi and Kenya boring.
Yeah.
Or she's tired of it. That's why. I'm like,
been there for a while.
You're in the same place.
You know the thing, I feel like sometimes this is a conversation for another day, but sanity and perceived and you know we will perceive other people when we go to their places might just be because you know we don't live there, so we can see it through a filtered lens. So it's possible for you to come to a place and they're stupid though. But
Kigali, they are not stupid. Kigali is very clean.
Wait.
Kigali is very clean.
Okay, I've not been to Kigali before, right? But I know that like there are some times when you go to a new place and you're tempted to think that place is better only because you've not actually like
lived
there. Yeah, exactly.
True.
Because once you live, they may be clean and they may like have a lot of things working for them, but they have like one area that has koi that you just didn't experience.
Let's just
leave that.
Rwanda is also a small country. But anyways, that's what I feel about the genocide. I think it helped them to be more responsible because they saw the impacts, like so many mass deaths.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are still living with the trauma.
Yeah.
If you speak with them, and have conversations with them, you know that a lot of them are still living with the trauma.
Yeah.
Some of them are survivors. Some of them are just like passing through life. Yeah, really.
Exactly. But you know how this, I very actually often wonder, right? Because you know, the civil war stuff that happened in Igbo land, right?
I wish it was documented, honestly.
Yes, like right like that. But then apart from that, I also think that maybe that's why like a lot of I feel like some people are forgetting that period.
Yeah.
That's why some people are still clamoring for let's go to war, blah blah blah. But that's on the side, right? I wonder how long it takes for people to get over that. Because
a generation has to pass or two.
Yeah, before they can be able to finally
get over
one or
that
two generations
thing.
Have to pass,
or more actually, yeah. Honestly, because I feel like even when they forget, they live their life a certain way, that you, if you trace it back, you find out that it's because, actually, of, it's because this, of this thing, yeah, that happened at, yeah, one point.
One or two generations have to pass, because war is honestly bad,
yeah,
bad rep, bad PR. Yes. The only people that
push benefit for
are people that sell weapons,
yep, exactly.
Crazy stuff, but it was cool. They had, I think I visited Art Gallery, then there was this place I visited I really liked, yeah. It was an activity center, Fazenda. Let me tell you, the tall guy said that it was like about $250 when I went there. I did not spend up to $100. So like, they had horse riding, it was crazy, but I didn't do it.
Why?
Because I went to, I was working. That's one of the bad parts about doing this thing, like, yeah, yeah, remote working. And the good thing was that, like, you know, Nairobi is, Kigali is 1 hour ahead, Nairobi is 2 hours ahead. So like, I would have already done some work.
Yes, before, yeah, leaving, I could, for the day.
Yes, and people in Nigeria are still like behind.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
You kind of feel like you're more productive. Exactly. When you're right. You still have the same for
hours. Exactly, because, yeah, sometimes actually, if you think about it, right, when you're done, like, you know, moving around, like looking at the city, seeing the sights, when you come back, you're tired.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though you say, okay, yeah, I'm going to like do some work, oh God, a human being. So
the thing is that that's why I tried to, like, I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
If before 12 o'clock.
Much better.
So I wake up, I do a lot of work.
Yes.
Till 12:01 before I can go out. And the good thing about it is that we're not in Nigeria, so you're not even experiencing traffic.
Exactly.
You can say you're going here.
You're going.
And it takes you 20-30 minutes, and you get there in 20-30 minutes. So that was like one of the like amazing things about traveling.
Yeah.
Then in the night, I can now do like the remaining work. So it was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Then I went to Nairobi. Now, advice, anybody that's traveling, I don't know whether Ada will give us traveling tips, but let me just tell you from my experience, don't travel without money.
Yes.
Don't cash do that. Is king. Don't it's do that without cash. Like, very big mistake I made. I went to Nairobi without cash.
No, but I told you you needed to change money. I need to be with
you. So I didn't travel with a lot of money because someone advised me that they use mobile apps. So I had so much faith in technology.
Oh, God.
So much. Way too much faith in technology. So at the time I left Kigali, I had like only $10 or $15.
Jesus Christ.
I used $15 to enter a new country.
Oh, my God. Wow. One day you're going to use this in your political speech.
So
I foresee great things in your future.
Anyway, when I got there,
yeah,
To come back, thank God they have airport Wi-Fi, and like that's one of the amazing
lessons. I love that.
Every country I travel to, they have airport Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Coming back to Nigeria, Nigeria is a joke.
What do they do? They actually do.
They do. when I came back to Nigeria, I was so disappointed. Anyways, mistake. So I couldn't get a SIM, and then I had to like call my host. He called the driver to come and get me and everything. And then there was an app they told me that I should use it, ever since, that they use it there. I got there. I said, asking people, do you take a percent?
Stop working! Are you serious? I think that, okay, you know the funny thing?
I knew that I was in trouble.
I think that this thing is tied to their phone number somehow.
Yes!
Momo.
No, they don't use M-Pesa.
Oh, M-Pesa, sorry.
They use M-Pesa.
Yes.
And for you to have M-Pesa, you have to have a SIM card.
Your phone, yes.
I'm going to have a SIM card. You have to pay for it.
Exactly.
I was doomed.
Oh, no.
That's how, finally, golden opportunity. Zen Finance saved my life.
Yes.
This is appreciation for Zen Finance. If you saved my life, I would have been stranded in another man's country.
I feel like we're supposed to, you know the funny thing is, right? There are some things you don't notice that, you know, it's in the app until you actually like need it. Because you know, you sent me a message and you were like, wow, Zen Finance actually has a...
I swear, I did not know. The thing I use Zen Finance for is to save money.
Yes. It does.
I had no clue. That was like,
yeah.
And because I'm such a believer in tech and digital currencies and all that, I did not know all these things. So eventually, I was able to like... convert some of my digital currencies to Kenyan currency.
Yeah.
Then I sent it to my host, and then he came to give me cash. That was what saved my life.
Oh, wow. This would have been a very
recession. You guys, I think very important when you want to travel, find out like the apps because there could be other apps, right? People could use it to do other
but
things.
But you know the funny thing,
but you have to know the ones the locals use.
Yeah, exactly. You know the funny thing, right? M-Pesa is actually like makes really great stride in Kenya. I didn't go to Nairobi, so I'm not sure how like the adoption is there. But of course,
everybody uses M-Pesa.
Yes, even down to the guy, the keke guy,
the bike. Because everybody almost everybody uses Safaricom. The bike.
Yeah.
The stores. Everywhere they use M-Pesa, and I think it's just amazing. The adoption.
Yeah.
Those guys,
I don't know how they did it. If you remember that episode where I went when I came back from Kenya, I was actually saying that I don't know how they did it, how they got people like every single. I think it's that phone number.
It's the phone number.
Yeah, because I feel like the ease for them to actually like switch and start using M-Pesa is like. Like very little.
Easy.
Yeah, they don't have like a lot to contribute to that.
Or just like to have the scene in your phone.
Exactly.
Go and set it up.
Exactly. And it's also very fast.
Very fast.
Because I remember that keke guy when he wanted to pay him for the missing, the guy that.
Where they had that keke?
Yes.
Oh, it's true.
I went to Mombasa.
Yeah, I didn't see any kekes in.
I went to Mombasa. So when the guy, it was my tour guide at the time, he stopped him and then he wanted to pay for the. For the keke, right? I just asked the guy for his number. I just typed in the number, and that was it. Like it wasn't like.
Oh, yeah, wait.
Yes, let's
check the
network. Let's check that. Nothing. Just
yeah.
Like nothing. Like it was
insane. It wasn't Nigerian bag thing.
Yeah, it just. I don't even know if there's any other app that has had like that much integration down to the root level like
MTN
that.
MTN in Kigali, they use Momo, but I don't see the value in Momo.
Momo agents.
Why?
Because.
In Momo, you needed to have cash.
Then they now send, give you
then
the money.
They'll put the money in your app.
I don't remember.
I don't see the value.
I know that I use Momo in Ghana, but I don't remember exactly how.
If I can't fund this from a bank,
I
can't see the value in that, honestly speaking. And
actually, they have Momo agents, right? And then you go to the Momo agents. I think that was what happened. I needed cash. Yeah, we went to the Momo agent, sent him money, and then he gave us cash, something like that.
I don't see the value in that. But why I think M-Pesa has more value is because somebody can send money into your M-Pesa wallet from the bank. That's what it should be.
Exactly.
Like minimum cash transaction.
Yes.
You know? So I think it's very important. Yo, I saw a black card for the first time in life. I know I met some tech bros and CEOs.
Yeah.
They had a black card.
Oh my God.
It was very good to see. You know? Are people living the life?
You know one thing that's like on your trips that I've actually like noticed that is something that is a recurring theme. You made friends very easily. I think that this podcast, this episode, they're supposed to just tell us how to make. I actually find it difficult to make new friends.
Okay, because number one, I don't have tour guide. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the first person when I got into the hotel in Kigali, I was very friendly to the receptionist.
Okay. Yeah.
I was very friendly to her. In fact, I even asked her like, "Where should I go? What should I eat?" Very, very friendly.
Yeah.
That was like the
first thing. Oh.
Yeah. And then when I went to the Airbnb, I just saw Nigerians.
Yes.
We just clicked.
Yeah.
How I even like I came, I saw someone, we had a common living area. I saw someone using ChatGPT. I'm like, hey, tech bro. And that was it. That was how we clicked. And we started talking and it was awesome. I think we even went out together, we went strolling together.
Yeah.
So like we're able to connect. We had like activities. I think when we went strolling, went to the supermarkets, coming back, somebody fell. Had injury, so I helped the guy to dress his wound. And
did we laugh first, or did we just help them straight up? Okay, go on, just tell me. Continue, sorry.
Anyways, so we're together. Like we had time to spend together in the common room, laugh and everything. And we actually went out.
So that means that.
So I even the one that took me to
Maybe I'm being chose actually had like that. Communal feel to it.
Yes, I think I'll say that. And it wasn't like a one person to a house. Like when I was in Nairobi, it was a one person house. But this one, I thought it was a one person house, but you actually paid for a room in the house.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I didn't even know it would come with breakfast. There was free breakfast. Amazing stuff. Nice. Amazing stuff, you know. And so that was the way I was able to like have those kind of friends. And they were even very busy people.
Yeah,
didn't
exactly.
work and everything. Me, I'll be the one to go out and come back and give them stories. Yeah. So it was really nice. Yeah. It was really nice. And we still talk till now. Mm. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like the friendships that we make during these trips, right? I don't make a lot of friends when I travel, but if I actually like meet people that I actually like click with, I find that like, you know, just keep talking. And well, I may not talk to them every day, but I really know that if whatever reason I need this person's help, I know
you
that
you can reach out.
And it's so
yeah,
nice.
Travel friends are nice. Yeah, but anyways, you people should just learn. One thing about Zen Finance, I think it's very good when you're traveling to any African country, because they can convert your
money,
cryptocurrencies to different local currencies. I think you can
Naira,
use them in
Kenya, shillings.
I think in
Accra also Ghanaian cedis. Yeah, Ghanaian cedis.
I think they even had Momo too for Rwanda.
I don't know about
what
that.
Did they
I'm
use
not
in
sure.
Rwanda again, Jesus. For Rwandan currency too. Yeah. So I think it's awesome. I think it's an awesome app. You guys, if you have crypto and you want to travel and you want to feel safe. Hook up with Zen Finance. Saved my life. Honestly, I don't know. For 2 days, I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
It was sad. Like, the first day, I think one of the things that saved me was, I always tell Ada when she's traveling, take pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And I took pasta. Mm-hmm. So I took pasta, I took sardine, I took geisha, I took tin tomato.
Mm-hmm.
That's what saved me in Nairobi. That first day,
yeah,
I had to cook.
Yeah.
And that was the only day I cooked.
I
swear I bought food everywhere. I found a Nigerian restaurant.
Oh God. I don't know why. I have beef with people that go to another person's country and start looking for Nigerian food. That is annoying.
No, so what made me go to the Nigerian restaurant was I ran out of cash in Rwanda. So I think it's very important to talk to people.
Yeah, it's true.
Ask questions, especially when you're alone.
Yes.
So I had to ask. I didn't have any money. I didn't know what to do. I knew I could ask the new friends that I've made that are Nigerians. I think they could have been able to help me.
Yeah.
But I asked other people, and then I found out that there was this restaurant I went to. They actually help people do Burundi change for Nigerians because the owner is
Nigerian.
Then I got talking with her. She's not even Nigerian. She's Rwandan, but her husband is Nigerian. So she put me on the call with her husband and everything. Easy transaction. I sent him the money. She gave me Rwandan money. So because of that, I had to eat in her place.
Yeah.
Very nice jollof and fried rice.
Yeah.
You know, very nice food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in Nairobi, I got to eat their food. The only thing I would say I really like is the nyama choma.
I could not believe that you said you didn't like chapati. Honestly, I like chapati.
I don't know. Maybe when I had my chapati, it was cold.
It was not hot either when I had it, but I didn't hate it at all, actually. I thought it was nice. But there are some other things that are questionable, but I actually like.
See, do you notice, do you like tomatoes and all these things?
On a normal day.
Like, do you eat food with like raw tomato and all those
things? Not really.
I think tomatoes in Nairobi, I think they are sweeter than tomatoes in Nigeria.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. I don't eat tomatoes, but then I had like this kind of shawarma wrap. It had tomatoes and cheese. I don't eat all those things.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to now not look very local.
Yeah.
I now bit into it. Jesus, the tomato was sugary.
You know the thing? I think that sometimes it's fear that used to make us not try other.
No, I don't like the way Nigerian tomatoes smell from the beginning. I don't like the way they smell to the taste.
You know, it's funny because the only person in my house that actually like used to like buy tomato in the you put in the fridge, and my mom actually like buys tomato for cheat to eat. Yes, yeah. Because he go to the fridge and he would just like take tomato and just eat like just raw like that.
Anyways, guys.
So I've never actually thought about it as not being sweet.
It's not sweet. I can't see myself eating it, but over there it was different. I'm telling you.
I see. I didn't.
And then I saw roses.
Yeah.
And flowers.
Yeah.
Like just normal. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much it is to get a bouquet of roses in Nigeria?
Get fresh bouquet.
You can.
In Enugu here.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Because I know that there's this church. They have, I think, Grail Mercy. message. They use roses.
French bouquet of roses.
Yes, they use roses to decorate their church. So I believe you can get it. If they can have it in their church, okay. Then you can get it. Mm. But it's fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Babe, I was in supermarket seeing roses. I didn't get it because I don't know how to take care of it and I don't have a vase and it will spoil and I'm going out. Mm-hmm. But I could appreciate it.
Let me tell you something. I bought myself roses on Valentine's Day. Yeah. When it died, I just carried it like this and put it in the dustbin. Because this put this in at the bottom that like it had like kind of like moisture. Then it was feeding on it. When that one was done, it was already looking like what I don't understand. So that's it.
I don't think they appreciate it.
No. You know, actually it's funny because I liked it though when it was still young and fresh. Exactly. You know what this is, they say plant mom, plant dad.
Yeah.
Count me out. When it's fresh and nice and I don't think of it, nice. When it's dying, take it out.
All right. Anyways, guys. That's why I wasn't around.
Is there any other
now I'm back.
Is there any other app apart from Zen Finance?
Okay, I use Eversend. Mm. Eversend was also good for my crypto to convert to other currencies. The only thing is that I had to convert it, then send it to my M-Pesa. Do you understand? Mm. So Zen Finance, Eversend, those two apps, awesome stuff. From what I can see, Sha. Okay. And also good to have give Naira.
Yeah, apart from the cash, very important.
Very important. Cash,
right? Even though I know that there are some countries, but then before you go, just do research. Right? Because that there are some countries where cash is not actually king, right? But at least, you know, for the places that I've been to, you always like need. You can never go wrong if you have cash.
Yeah, go with dollars. Right? Yeah, and exactly. Don't go and overspend like me. Exactly. I spent all my money and then I was. Don't do it.
No.
I won't recommend it to myself.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Jeez. Yeah. I always myself in trouble.
It's very funny because like I usually say, when you travel, you buy things and when you come back home, you can cry. But the truth is, at the airport, if you decide to change money at the airport, right, that they abroad the change that is at the airport, change the amount that you think should be enough for you for that period.
Period
and in your head, be telling yourself, if this money finish, I'm going to walk back home. Like, that's what I tell myself. So, the funny thing is that sometimes it's not going to be enough, right? But you also have, like, enough food. Like, you have dollars in your bag. Just that you know that, well, this money change. This is what I'm supposed to use.
Yeah.
But when worse gets worse,
you change, change. Definitely. Definitely. The same thing I did.
You give, like, you know.
Yes, please. If you are going to travel, try and do all your payments online before you go. Because one of the things that happened to me that made me spend all my money was that I made a booking on bookings.com and my payment did not go through.
Oh no.
But the booking was reserved, right? Okay. But the payment did not go through. So at the end of the day, I had to pay dollars for two hotel nights.
Oh, okay. And you had to pay in person, like when you were there.
Yes. Oh. I had to pay cash.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that really took my cash. Exactly. Yeah.
That's sad.
So just try, but like for my Airbnb, I was able to pay for it online. Mm. So just try and make your payments down on time so that you don't like feel stranded and have to like get cash and be running around, like me. I've walked so that you can fly. I've walked so that you can fly. Don't do it again. I won't do it again either. But like when you travel, just have fun and be open. Be open to talking to people.
New things.
And be open to
new food, opportunities.
New opportunities.
New friends.
New friends, yeah.
Please, if you go to a new place, eat their food.
Yeah.
And well, if their food is too much for you, you can have
go with flagyl.
Yes, go with flagyl. Very important.
I was purging from the airport.
No good.
Airport food is terrible.
Yeah, always go with
flagyl. And then go with cream.
Mosquito repellent.
Yeah, exactly. They had a lot of mosquitoes.
I know it's self-medication, but go with it.
Possibly cough medicine. Nigerians, we're lucky. We don't even realize how cheap things are. I went there and I had to pay $4 for cough syrup that is 700 naira a year. It was painful.
Oh, God.
But I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all the tips I have for when you travel. And hopefully, after Scrum, we'll get to go on the road as
very
planned.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. Very soon. I can't wait to, like, travel, meet new people, and you know, share your experiences with us.
Yes,
you know?
And bring you along this time, actually.
Yeah.
See you on our next episode then.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.